Services Committee will come to order. I have a couple of announcements, or one announcement. Senate Bill 37, which funds the Rural Health Safety Net, was passed out of committee on Monday. The bill will go first to revenue and finance first, and then to Ways and Means. We passed it out to Ways and Means, but it will go to revenue first.
So that's...
We don't have to do anything. Yeah, we don't have
okay.
to do anything. Okay, we are going to change the agenda briefly. We're going to change the agenda, and we're going to hear Senate Bill 231 after we hear the Series 205 to 209. We're going to deal with those bills first, and then we will hear 231.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Before we get started, because I want to say this on the record so it's part of our archives for all time. And I want to apologize to those here that I'm going to have to be leaving committee early today, but it's for some very personal reasons, because today is not only Valentine's Day and Oregon's birthday, but more importantly, it's my wife's birthday. And I have planned a surprise for her.
And so why don't you say it over the...
I know she's not listening to this. So I think I have a much higher calling this afternoon, so I'll be leaving you early.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Okay, we will open with a public hearing on Senate Bill 205. Do we have... Rick Meredith? Rick? Marinelli?
Marinelli, that's correct.
Marinelli, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Chair Morissette, Vice Chair Cruz, Senators George and Mons Anderson and Berger. This bill, Senate Bill 205, which is sponsored by the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, is intended to update and clarify the requirements of ORS 685-80, which relates to naturopathic physician licensure. In the past, the board has taken was charged with creating the exams, evaluating the applicants, which became burdensome as the profession has grown. Approximately 10 years ago, the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners was formed in order to take over this task. The structure is similar to the National Board of Medical Examiners, and they determine the qualifications for applicants to sit for the exams and to administer the exams. In addition, this bill also reserves the right of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners to require additional exams for licensure. Presently, we require two additional exams, one in jurisprudence of Oregon law, and the other relating to the pharmacology of our formulary. And the deletions present in the bill relate to the removal of the language that no longer reflects the current situation. So the way that we're looking at this is that this is a housekeeping bill. Okay. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? I'm looking for the language that you removed. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they removed almost more than the.
Well, I know there were. Well, okay, maybe it's a different bill than you.
Mr.
yes,
Chair.
Senator Monge.
Now I know I'm a nurse, and my training's different than a naturopathic. Definitely the scopes are different. But I take a look at lines 17 through 21, where the board may waive the basic science examination requirement for licensure for an applicant. Science includes physiology, kinesiology, anatomy and physiology, and to me that is just critical to someone who's going to be a naturopathic, in my eyes. Could you before that, they didn't need to have this kind of training? Is that what you're saying?
No, or? Senator. Thank you for the question. The only situations in which the board would consider waiving the basic science examination requirements for licensure would be if someone had already qualified in the basic science, say, for example, for a Doctor of Medicine degree. So in that case, they've already taken the national basic science exams, and they could apply for waiver of that. But besides, so this does in no way releases anyone else from the requirement. In fact, I don't recall it ever happening since I've been on the board, but I know that in the past, for example, we have doctors of medicine who want to attend naturopathic medical school, and it's unreasonable and unfair to them, especially if they have current licensure and they've passed the national exam, to ask them to take it again, because essentially it's a nearly identical exam.
I guess I'm still not sure why you would waive the basic science examination requirement for licensure.
Line 18, it says that the requirement for licensure for an applicant who is qualified in basic science as a result of successful performance on an examination determined by the board to be comparable to the basic science examination required under subsection 1A of this section, and to have recently taken it to assure the currency of the applicant's knowledge. And typically, I think for most medical school programs, that's between 5 and 10 years. If it's been longer than that, then the person may not qualify. This is something that only happens rarely, and I think it's my understanding is that it only happens with someone who has completed the basic science requirement for doctors of medicine.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess my question is, if this is not a critical issue, why remove it if it causes confusion?
The lines that we're talking about are additions. These are the lines.
I understand that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could.
Yeah.
The way I read it, it basically says if you've taken the test already, you shouldn't have to take it again, more or less. In other words, if you sat for a test that's virtually similar in another setting,
yeah.
Why should you have to take it again if you've already passed it once?
That's my understanding, Senator.
Okay. Okay. Other questions, comments?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'll close the hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 205 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 205 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Is there any, to me, I feel there should be more testimony here. I mean, but maybe not.
If I may, Senator.
Yes.
In times prior, when the board oversaw this type of thing, it was much more, I believe, subjective and difficult to assess. Presently, with the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners, there's tremendous oversight from many interested parties as to who actually qualifies to sit for examination. I apologize, I didn't submit this into the testimony. This is a letter from the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners that goes more into detail about the process of assessing applicants and more of the details about the naturopathic physician's licensing exam, which is called NPLEX.
You know, I just don't feel you know, I haven't read your North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners, the tests. Or, I mean, I feel a little inadequate here saying, yes, let's do it, when I truly don't know the impact on how this qualifies someone to be a naturopath. I just don't want to be passing something where you're going to waive basic science examination. If this truly does say that if they had passed another science test, but this is this a science test in, you know, in geology, or is this a science test in, you know, to me it needs to be definitely physiology, anatomy, kinesiology.
Okay.
For the record,
we're in a public hearing.
No, we're in a work session.
We're in a work session, but we are taking clarification language. So, would you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry for that.
No.
My name is Ann Walsh. I'm the director for the licensing board for naturopathic physicians. And just for clarification, the basic science exam has been that is allowed to be waived has been assessed and evaluated by MPLEX, who does the national exam, so that it's the equivalent of anything that a naturopath would take in their basic science. So the basic science for a naturopath is similar to a medical doctor's or to a nurse's. So when they evaluated that, I wasn't part of that process, but they took the exams and they did whatever that process is called, where they evaluate them, and they are equivalent exams. So that's why they allow somebody who's already a medical doctor to forego that part of the exam, because the differences come in the clinical sections of the examination.
Okay.
Does that make more sense?
Yes, it does, because I got my nursing license in the state of Virginia. I did not have to take my licensing exam here in the state of Oregon, because Oregon accepted the exam that I took there. And that's, I guess, what I want to know and make sure that
it's a national standard.
National standard.
Yeah, so the examinations are equivalent wherever whatever ones are accepted are equivalent.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, now I'm comfortable.
Other questions? Senator George.
If we're talking about a medical doctor physician who decides to become a naturopath, mm-hmm. or to go to the training and get certified, why don't you write that in the bill? What others beyond that might, in fact, be qualified to have this waived?
Well, a chiropractic exam, some of the national chiropractic exam is accepted. I don't, because we don't do that process, because MPLEX is the one who actually makes that determination, we actually have left that responsibility to them for this board to actually look at each exam. One of the reasons why we went to the national exam was because of the time constraints for making sure the exams were equivalent, was required more knowledge than the board members could offer. So we went to the national service. And then when the national exams became, took over those responsibilities, that's when the administration of those exams changed from our office to the National Office of Administration. So the exams are not really what's so much at issue, because those haven't changed. And that the writers of those exams have stayed the same. So for the board to start to get involved in actually writing the exams, I think that would be probably jeopardize the quality of the exams, I would think. Is that making sense?
Let me think about it for a second.
Okay. Now, would you give the full name of NPLEX, the board? Would you?
It's the NPLEX acronym stands for the National or Naturopathic Physician Licensing Examinations.
Okay. Good. Thank you. While several members are deep in thought, do we have other
questions? Just, Mr. Chair, if I could do a clarification, I think. So basically what you said was that for any other science exam to stand, your national accreditation folks have had to have fully vetted it and accepted it.
Yes. Okay. And if I could do my follow-up.
Yes.
Let's assume that you're going to accept someone else, as you said, maybe a chiropractic test. Since we're going to be waiving something, and we all get really nervous when the description of the bill says allows the board to waive basic science exam. We all get very nervous about that. So do you go back and make sure that everything that's alleged by the person who is, you know, applying for the license has in fact completed all that work?
Senator Morissette, Senator George, yes, we did. We, to get licensed, we need copies of all of their examinations, all of their examination scores, all of their undergraduate transcripts, all of their national naturopathic medical school transcripts, diplomas, so that although I'm not making an equivalency check against those exams, I can verify that they've had them. That's in every doctor's record in our office.
We're good to go now?
I'm okay.
Chair.
No, not yet.
If you look at Section 5, it is the one that they've taken out. And it says, the board may waive the basic science portion of its own examination for an applicant when it declares qualified in basic science as a result of successful performance on a comparable examination taken recently enough to assure the currency of the applicant's knowledge. In such cases, the board shall determine the necessary comparability through evaluation of both the examination content and testing procedures, and shall determine the appropriate qualifying score for waiver regardless of any nominal passing score. Why did they need the bill?
Well,
the language is subtle in what they've changed. It's quite subtle, and I'm not sure of why that you did it.
The changes to Senator Morissette, Senator Berger, the changes to allow the board to authorize the National NABNE, the National Association of
the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners,
to administer the exams for us. So currently, the way the statute reads, the board is not only responsible for the examination, but the administration of it.
Okay, really? that's the top section. That's Section 1A, and I understand that.
Okay.
Why Section 2? A clarification that you have taken 2 and eliminated 5, and the language change is very subtle.
Yes, Senator. The reason for that is that the profession is large enough now in Oregon that the Board of Naturopathic Examiners in our state doesn't have the resources to administer and to promulgate the exam. And functionally, this has been occurring under the aegis of the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners administering the naturopathic physician's licensing exam. So essentially, we wanted to update this bill to reflect the current situation and also to really clarify what is occurring and to share the responsibility with the North American Board of Naturopathic Examiners, which has much greater resources.
She's asking us why this is
Senator Berger, I think what happened is Legislative Council, when they looked at our statute, they said, major mess, which they say every session that we make a change. And they took that section of the law and revamped it so that it was in a more orderly manner. And I think that's why 2 is where it is, and the language, the way it's written, so it's easier to understand. But it does, as you said, it says the same thing as 5. But
it does exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it does. But it was just put into
a little bit more
change the format of the statute so that it's easier to read, so that you aren't going jumping from 1 to 5 back to 3 to 2. I'm about 95% sure that that's why they did that.
I have a question, too.
Yes.
Number 4, or the previous 4, the 4 that was deleted.
Okay.
That's where if an applicant fails to pass the basic science or clinical section, They will be able to take it two times within a period of 2 years, and if after three attempts the applicant has not passed the entire basic science or clinical section, the applicant shall be required to wait 1 year and retake the complete section. So why was that deleted? I mean, in most cases, you don't.
Right.
This is very restrictive compared to, I think, most
correct
disciplines.
Senator Morissette, Senator Montes-Anderson, what has happened is we no longer administer the exam. We no longer create the exam. So in doing that, we have to allow MPLEX, who has now established these exams, to determine what is a fair number of times for somebody to take the exam. So for, and it has been until we change this, anybody who hasn't met our strict standards doesn't get licensed here, but because of the way the actual exams is set up and the NABNY has set up the administration, it allows people to take the exams three times in a two-year period and then have to retake the series. So, and now that they're moving to an integrated exam, that makes it, they have to take the whole exam every time and pass. And so for us to have that restriction in there is kind of, it's actually a moot point because we don't have any control over,
yeah, sort of like,
except that we can't license somebody who hasn't passed in that very restricted amount of time.
If you fail, we have to take the whole thing. Same.
Absolutely.
With the law exam.
Yeah. So that's they are moving to the integrated exam actually in August 07.
Okay, thank you.
Are we other concerns, questions? Okay.
Would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Senator
Bonney?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Vice
Chairman? Aye. Aye. The bill passes and we'll go to the floor and Senator Cruz will escort it to the floor.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 206. Introduce yourself again for the record, please.
Thank you, Chair Morissette. My name is Rick Marinelli for the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and Ann Walsh, the Executive Director, will be joining me.
Okay.
Senate Bill 206 is sponsored by the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners and is intended to clarify and update the requirements of ORS 685, 60, 70, 80, 100, 102, 104, and 170. This is part of what Ms. Walsh was talking about before as Legislative Council, saying, well, you know, any opportunity to clean your bill up is a good thing. This includes updates to the sections on basic and clinical sciences, science examination. It essentially is a housekeeping bill. It allows us to authorize to specify by rule additional subject exams required for licensure, and it also prohibits the board from including major surgery as a required area of study. Additional measures within this bill require that application for exam must be filed 20 days prior to the exam. It also requires that we employ or appoint an executive director, prior it was known as a secretary, who shall issue a license renewal notice by November 1 of each year. Please, if there are any questions.
Yes, I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Lawrence.
Your board is made up of, who is on your board?
Senator Morissette.
Who would determine the rules?
The board is composed of 5 naturopathic physicians and 2 public members.
Okay.
The board may not include major surgery as a required area of study. Now, explain that.
Go ahead.
Senator Morissette, naturopathic physicians are not trained in major surgery, and so in that we can't allow them to be licensed to practice. They don't.
Well, that implies that it has happened then in the past?
I couldn't tell you if it's happened. It hasn't happened since I've been with the board.
Okay.
But I think it's probably just there as a preventive measure. Probably I really don't know why it's there. I would guess maybe to just address the concern that the medical board might have that naturopaths may decide that they could start doing major surgery if they had the education for it.
Okay, well, I guess that kind of jumps out at you. In the bold print, and I'm wondering if, you know, if there was a reason that you may have done it in the past, or some people may have, but it's a...
Not to my mind. I think emphasis. It's just there for...
Okay, other...
And again, I need clarifications. You know, sometimes this is so hard to understand.
I agree.
Let's talk about exempting people. And that's in Section 5, and then on the page 4, I would sort of like to just understand what exemption means. Most of it's in law now, so it's not any change. But then this last sentence on line 5, however, a person may not be exempted from the requirements of subsection 1 of this section more than once in any 5 years, whereas the original was no person shall. Oh, I see. It's no person shall. It's saying the same thing. A person may not. Okay, now I got it.
Yes. I think that's just the legislative. Some of that language is just legislative counsel trying to make it read like a true sentence.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, so this is a kind of an overhaul of the statute, then a cleaning up of the statute.
Yes.
And, other questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, the only thing that it seems to me, and maybe I'm just not reading the bill right, but it seems to me that there's a loosening of the requirements. It's less restrictive. And I would find that... Am I not correct in that? Because I would find that a not a good direction to go.
Senator Morissette, Senator Ferger, I agree with you. I would not loosen the statute by any means. I don't think that that's what it's doing. I think what it's doing is just cleaning it up. I'm not sure if there's a specific place where the language is confusing to you, but with the administration of the exam, that's a fairly important thing to take off the desk of the board members, because it takes so much time. The profession has grown from 225 people in 1998 when I started with the board to over 750 at this point. I expect that profession to continue to grow on a regular basis, 50 to 75 doctors a year. And so I think to take things such as national exam and give them to somebody who is qualified and competent to do them consistently and make sure that the doctors that come into the state that have the education, that have the training, pass the minimum educational requirements, I think that's a good thing to take off our desk and to give to somebody else that we trust, and to spend time working with the doctors on the consumer protection end of the practice. So I don't really know that
There's a broader definition of the requirements, but the rather than the limited requirements that are presently in the ORS. It also says person who fails only the certain section of the test would only have to retake that section of the test. And that has not been before. I consider that making it easier.
Senator Morissette, Senator Ferger, in the past, when the board actually administered the MPLEX exam, the national exam, the board itself allowed doctors to take only a part of the exam in the past. Then when it was delegated to, then MPLEX set up a standard where a person could take only a part of the exam, like the biochemistry or whatever section of the exam they had failed. They could retake it, but now that it's going to be an integrated exam, there's not going to be pieces to that exam. It's going to be one exam, and you either pass the exam or you retake the exam. And so I think it's actually tightening it up, because you're required to know everything instead of just a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Berger, I would certainly welcome a meeting with you or having a board member meet with you at some point if you would like some more understanding about naturopathic laws and or licensing. I certainly don't have any problems spending time with you.
Let me just say this, and it really doesn't have as much to do with just this bill or this board. I think that what you're looking at is a group of people, in my mind, who stand between the patient and the safety of that patient and the promise that if the state of Oregon says that that person is licensed and can practice medicine and do work on you, that I don't have to worry about it. And I feel that responsibility of being sure that that's the case. So it isn't that it's this particular thing. I think that goes across the board.
Senator Morissette, Senator Berger, I agree with you, and I think the board, the naturopathic board, every member feels that very strongly. Mm-hmm. I feel we're very competent.
Yes.
Yeah, one other. Before the secretary, I'm getting into the part that's going to appoint an executive director. And this is in section 4, page 3, line 7. So now instead of the secretary, it's the executive director of the board shall issue a renewal notice. Is that just coming in line with what the other boards do? Yes. Usually we have an executive director and not a secretary doing those things. Does that mean there'll be more costs? I mean,
no. I am the secretary, executive director, licensing agent.
Okay, I would prefer to call you executive director, believe me. Okay.
Other comments? Well, I sense some discomfort with this right now, and so I think I will close the public hearing and we'll come back to this bill. I want to meet with Legislative Council, and I want to talk with Legislative Council. I would like to speak with you about this and see if we feel comfortable, because when we go to the floor of the House with something like this, we could spend a lot of time trying to explain, and unless we fully understand what we're talking about, it could be difficult. So we'll just move on to the next bill and come back to this one at another time. Okay, Rick, you can stay where you are. We'll open the public hearing. Senate Bill 207. Jamie Krem and Greg Garcia. If you would come up, please. Rick, would you?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Morissette. Senate Bill 207. The Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners has sponsored this bill in recognition of the need to have services for impaired naturopathic physicians. As we've grown, then, we've also needed to have some additional oversight, which the larger boards, such as the Board of Medicine, has had. This bill would allow the OB&E to refer impaired naturopathic physicians to a board-approved program for evaluation and treatment for dependency issues instead of disciplinary action. It also allows the OB&E to require certain evaluations, mental, physical, or chemical dependency, or competency when the board has objectively reasonable grounds to do so. This has been researched and developed by the board, and Dr. Garcia has taken the lead on that, so I'd like to defer to Dr. Garcia and have him talk.
Thank you, Chair Morissette and Senator George, Senator Anderson, and Senator Berger. I've been serving on the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners since 2000, so I'm just about ready to retire my public service. And this is a bill that I encourage you to support, because the board has been stymied without having the authority to have a diversion program or something similar that's modeled by the Board of Medicine. Which means that when this is an issue before us as a complaint, the end result is a public, the final discipline is public, and that creates, I think, sort of a double standard. So we would like to establish a procedure for licensees where this may be a question that keeps them, gives us an option besides discipline, and keeps that information then out of the public realm as far as that goes. I also believe that in allowing this to occur, that the admission by a licensee that they have an alcohol problem, as an example, is simply easier to establish, and we'll have a roadmap for how to proceed with that type of licensee.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think this is an absolute must. Mm-hmm. I think every healthcare discipline, you know, there is a shortage of healthcare workers, and at least the nursing has a diversion program, the physicians have a diversion program, and we can't just kick them out. But we still need to have them very closely monitored so that the safety of the services that they provide are closely monitored, because we certainly don't want a provider to be providing care and then perform unsafe medical practice. So, but I do feel that it's been very successful in the other healthcare professions, and I can't see why it won't be successful in the naturopathic profession.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you require at the time of a renewal, a urine analysis of all the doctors, practitioners?
No, Senator, we do not at this time.
Okay. You guys are performing surgery. You're prescribing drugs. This person may, in fact, be a drug affected themselves. I maintain a CDL license, and if I'm using that CDL license on a highway, I'm required to get that analysis. And if I fail that analysis, nobody covers up the report. In fact, if I did, it would be front page headlines. So I'm having a real hard time with this, because I think, you know, obviously we're having a large increase in number of practitioners. I don't see a shortage problem here. And I think there needs to be strict discipline, particularly when we have somebody doing surgery and this person's prescribing drugs. That's not a question. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Do you do surgery?
Senator Morissette, we do minor surgery.
Minor surgery. Okay. Okay. It seems to me we had this discussion with the Board of Nursing earlier today, and when a person steps forward with a problem, then it is dealt with on that basis without publication and so on. The other question that I would have is, do we require this, you know, does the Board of Medical Examiners require this of physicians and every other practicing, you know, every other board? Your brain surgeon, for instance, is he required to take a urine test before he performs brain surgery? Should he take a urine test? I mean, we're opening up a...
Can I vote on that?
Senator Berger.
Yes. Do we have someone else that's going to come up for public testimony on this?
On this issue.
Because we all received an email from Janice Krim.
I'm Janice.
Yeah.
You're Janice Grimm? That's what I wanted to know. I just wanted to be sure you were here. So you're going to be able to cover what you sent us.
I hope so.
In the email. Very good. That's good. I just wanted to be sure of that. Mr. Chair,
yes.
The problem is this says objectively reasonable grounds. Well, that might be kind of like beauty in the eye of the beholder. So I'm not sure of exactly whether that's very specific or not. And I'm trying to put myself in that position of someone saying, well, I think that, you know, there are reasonable grounds that you have to have an evaluation. And by the way, you have to pay for it. And that person just may be retaliating because they don't like bonds. So... You know, I've got to look at this. That, but I'm going to wait and when Janice does hers, because I've read her amendment very carefully as well.
Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, Senator Morissette, members of the committee. My name is Janice Krim. I practice administrative law,
I've done it for a very long time. I have practiced administrative law as an administrative law judge, which means I worked for agencies. I've also administered a hearing program. In other words, it was my job to make sure that the agency delivered contested case hearings and rulemaking hearings and adjudicated appropriately. Currently, I am in private practice and have been in private practice for some time now, and I now represent people before boards and commissions in a variety of areas. So I have kind of a large experience with a variety of agencies. I have no reason to talk about anything in this bill today except the very part that Senator Berger pointed out, which is the Section 3F. That's the section of the bill that I'm concerned with. I don't have a concern that agencies have the ability, when they have adequate information, to require a licensee or an applicant to have to undergo some kind of a physical or mental examination or drug examination. The problem is that there needs to be checks and balances on how they exercise that authority, not whether they have it, because administrative law is really about the idea that when you give agencies authority, that you also make sure that there's an adequate check and balance on how they exercise it. So it's mostly about procedural issues. Administrative law suggests that you do things such as set a standard up for when it occurs and then put in place procedures to make sure it happens. This particular amendments that I gave to you would make sure that when somebody has, the agency has a suspicion about somebody needing some kind of an exam, that they're provided, the person who is being subject to this order at least has an opportunity to object. That the agency first says, this is what the exam will be, this is what it's going to cost, this is how it's going to occur, this is who's going to permit it, and this is why we think you need it. And then the person who's being affected by this proposal would have an opportunity to request a hearing. The hearing would then be a very limited hearing. This is a hearing about just those issues. Now, under the current system, if an agency were to order someone, other agencies have this authority and do order it. Under the current system, without this amendment that I'm suggesting you look at today, a person who's being subjected to an incredibly invasive and sometimes vague reason would have to hire a lawyer, go to circuit court, and then try to get enough of the circuit court's time to have this reviewed. The suggestion I make is to not make somebody, as well as the agency, hire lawyers and go to circuit court to get this resolved, but to let an agency resolve it as quickly and as cheaply as possible before this order becomes effective. As I said before, the hearing would be very limited to those specific issues.
Ms. Prim, in reading this, did you pick up on the fact that there's no required notification? In other words, I can be told 2 days before the evaluation. I'm not given much time. There's no time limit on it.
That's correct.
At all. Also, where is my appeal process? Let's say that there's a ruling, and I say, well, whoa, wait a minute. And quite frankly, I have won an appeal before and was found absolutely correct and the other individual incorrect. So I think that that appeals process is vital to a person that is innocent and does not have what is charged against them.
Once it becomes a contested case hearing and it doesn't go to circuit court, there's an actual contested case hearing before an administrative law judge that is not owned by the agency. It's in a separate objective environment. Now, I'm not saying the agency doesn't come back and issue the final order, but at least the hearing, the record development, the evidentiary record, the analysis is all done by an independent administrative law judge. The agency will make the final decision, of course, but because it's an administrative hearing, a contested case administrative hearing, then there is an appeal right. It's part of the Administrative Procedures Act, which is the law in Oregon that applies to all contested case hearings, unless you're specifically exempted under parts of it. But that's the regular routine way that the notice that's contained in this suggested amendment, the process of telling the person what the basis is, the fact that the hearing is prescribed and it's a contested case hearing builds in an appeal process. a routinized process for making sure. Administrative law is really about the idea, I mean, agencies are just people. People make mistakes. Administrative law is not there to tell agencies they're bad or terrible. Administrative law is there to say, if you've made a mistake, agency, you need to correct it. You need to correct it efficiently. You need to correct it effectively and as cheaply as possible. And those are the concepts that I tried to articulate in these amendments. I'd be glad to answer questions.
Okay. I'd like a follow-up on that because clarified to me. Go ahead.
No. All right. I just had one thing to point out in Ms. Prim's amendment to the committee, and that is on point number 6, these provisions do not apply to tests for illegal drug use. So I just wanted to point that out because Senator George had brought up the...
So go ahead, Senator.
Well, that's where I wanted to go. Where did you see that, Senator Berger?
That's in the email from Janice Grant.
It's also in the second page of my testimony, if you look at it.
Okay.
Does that help?
Because that was my it's not in the bill. I know what you have in the email, but here, to me, if someone is abusing, they could appeal and then clear the system of any drugs and be clean when the time of the evaluation is required. So the way your amendment is they can clean their system out first before they could be evaluated. At least the way this amendment is written.
Senator Morris Anderson, I think maybe I need to draw your attention more closely to the language, and maybe I can answer your question to your satisfaction. Can you look on the second page of my proposed amendment?
Okay.
If you go down to Section 6,
I see
there's
that.
A specific exemption that says it does not apply to tests for illegal drug use.
Now, tell me this. Is this standard protocol for the Board of Nursing and their diversion program? Is this protocol for the physicians? And that's what I would like to see, because why would we make something different for the naturopaths when it's extremely, it's just, I think we need an equity, there's an equity issue here. And before I would want to look at this amendment, I would want to see how this compares with how things are done in other disciplines. So, Mr. Chair, I truly do believe we need to make sure that we're not changing things for naturopaths
Dr. Garcia, you wanted to respond?
Yes, Senator Morissette and Senator Mona Anderson. Some of these issues came up in the 2005 legislature, and the senior attorney general, Warren Foote, answered those. And actually, Dr. Marinelli has those here that addresses some of these points. I also wanted to just comment a little bit from Senator George about the urine testing, which is that in our license renewal, which is an affidavit essentially, we do require them to report anything other than a parking ticket. So DUIs and all those sorts of records is something that they're required to tell us for license renewal. But if you'd like, I'd like to turn that over to Dr. Marinelli.
Mr. Chairman, can I follow up with that?
Yes.
But the person hasn't been cited for smoking marijuana. And let me ask a question. Can a naturopath prescribe medical marijuana?
Senator Morissette, Senator George, naturopaths are not allowed to prescribe marijuana in the state of Oregon.
How many of the drugs you're allowed to prescribe are addictive?
Naturopaths do qualify through the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, and there's a variety of drugs under the 5 schedules. So schedules 2s, 3s, 4s, and 5s, we can prescribe some of those medications.
Other?
He is going to respond to.
Oh, Dr. Marinelli.
Thank you, Senator. In the 2005 legislative session, there was a House Bill 2283, which Senior Attorney, Assistant Attorney General Warren Foote responded to, which essentially are the amendments that Ms. Krem is proposing. And it was his opinion that the net result would be, when there was an evaluation order, there was likely to be two contested case hearings, one to determine whether there was substantial evidence to support the ordered evaluation, and then a second in the event the board decides to proceed to impose disciplinary action. To boards with limited legal budgets, which certainly applies to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, the fiscal impact could deter them from taking appropriate action. And also, as Ms. Krem had mentioned, that there are remedies for contested case hearings as it stands right now. The Circuit Court of Marion County, or the Circuit Court where the petitioner resides or has a principal business office, these petitions for review can be filed within 60 days of when the order is served. The concern is that conferring the right to a contested case hearing to a licensee that receives an order for evaluation will inject significant cost and delay the evaluation process. And the risk of the harm to the public must be recognized to be at least as important a value as cost and inconvenience to a licensee. It's very unlikely that the timelines that are hoped for by this amendment would be able to be fulfilled. And the fiscal impact will be very significant. And I'd like to just restate the fact that this is the Senior Assistant Attorney General Warren Foote's opinion on these types of amendments for our bill as well as other bills. His testimony was specifically for the Board of Psychological Examiners Board, and my understanding is that those amendments were not passed.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Senator Virgil.
Would you comment on the lack of an appeals process? That bothers me a great deal. My particular case was with an agency, and there was a mistake made. It was just a mistake. I don't think it was an intentional mistake. Might have been an honest mistake, but the mistake needed to be corrected, and it was. And it was corrected through a very nice, pleasant appeals process. So I just wonder how you feel about that.
I feel that there should be the possibility for appeal and for review. And my understanding is, and I'm certainly no expert on administrative law, is that that method is already, the option is already in place with and through the circuit courts of wherever one lives. So that it's not that one cannot do it. It's just that one has to go to circuit court. That's one of the things about the language of our statutes. It does allow that. So without this amendment, the appeals process, my understanding, is still available through the circuit court.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, Mr. Chair. I'll just say that my appeals process was set up, and I did not have to hire an attorney. They had a judge there, and I was not the only person that he heard that day. And it was a very inexpensive process for me to go through. And I think that, of course, it didn't involve the health, didn't involve my health, and so that probably is a different thing. But I think Senator Montanderson has a good point in that we probably want to know what others have done. I worry a little bit about the board itself. It doesn't seem like it's an impartial, subjective.
Before we go any further, there's a DOJ sitting somewhere back there. I can't see her. Could you come up, please? I guess my feeling is if there's discomfort, we would not proceed until we feel comfortable.
Good afternoon, Chairman Morrison, members of the committee. My name is Joanna Matinich. I'm an Assistant Attorney General from the Department of Justice, and I'm prepared to address some issues raised by Ms. Krem's comments for you today. I submitted some testimony. I serve as legal counsel for the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Mr. Foote, my colleague, serves as counsel for BME. And at this point, DOJ is neutral on this bill. My client, however, supports Senate Bill 207 and has, as you've heard, strong reservations about any potential amendments that would provide a contested case hearing process on orders of evaluation that the board may issue if Senate Bill 207 becomes law. As Mr. Marinelli indicated, Ms. Krem's comments are somewhat of a reprise of House Bill 2283 from last session that was not adopted. And what this bill intends to do is basically provide the Board of Naturopathic Examiners with very similar authority to the authority that BME and the Board of Nursing currently have. If as part of an investigation the board has concerns about the possibility that a licensee may be impaired, the board does not have authority to order an evaluation. Oftentimes, a licensee may agree to submit voluntarily to that process, but currently they need to go on the information they have and either proceed. If they don't have enough evidence for an emergency suspension, then they would need to proceed with whatever means they have an investigation, but they don't currently have authority to order an evaluation. What BME has currently is in ORS 677420. If the board has reasonable cause to believe that any licensee is or may be unable to practice medicine or podiatry with reasonable skill and safety to patients, the board shall cause a competency examination of such licensee for purposes of determining the fitness of the licensee to practice medicine or podiatry with reasonable skill and safety to patients. And the Board of Nursing.
For the record, the BME is the Board of Medical Examiners.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
And very similar authority is provided to the Board of Nursing in ORS 678.113, part subsection 2, when that board has reasonable cause to believe that an applicant, certificate holder, or licensee is or may be unable to practice nursing with reasonable skill and safety, they can order an evaluation, a competency exam. So Senate Bill 207 would provide similar authority to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners when the board has objectively reasonable grounds to believe that a licensee may be unable to practice with reasonable safety and skill. They can order an evaluation. And it's virtually the same language as in the other bills for BME and Board of Nursing. Evaluation orders that would be issued under this bill are subject to legal challenge. Orders for evaluation are orders in other than a contested case under current law. That means that a licensee may challenge that order by going to circuit court. And as Mr. Marinelli indicated, jurisdiction for such orders would be in either Marin County or the county where the licensee resides. One is not required to be represented by counsel to go to circuit court. My understanding is that currently that process is fairly efficient, as unless the circuit court takes action before the time in which an evaluation is due, the board's order for an evaluation is going to remain in effect. So basically, a licensee would need to make a showing of irreparable harm and likelihood of prevailing. As those are very difficult to make, a licensee would have a strong incentive to proceed in circuit court and put an end to those proceedings before the evaluation order became due. An administrative proceeding, such as Ms. Krem has proposed, would encourage delay. A hearing would have to be referred to a hearings officer scheduled for hearing. There's procedures that allow for discovery, for continuances, for postponements of the hearing, all before the evaluation order could be effective. Unless you have any further questions.
I just wanted to ask you, what is objectively reasonable grounds? Would you define that?
Well, it's an objective standard. There needs to be reasonable grounds, some sort of evidence that would lead the board to believe that a licensee is unable to provide services to a patient with reasonable safety and skill. And under current law, that standard would be applied by a circuit court judge to determine that the board had proper grounds to issue the order.
Follow up, please.
Yes.
I have two questions, Mr. Sure. Chair. First, I understood you to say this is the same language that's used with the Board of Nursing.
Senator Berger, it's quite similar.
And the Board of Medical Examiners.
There's the standard that Chairman Morissette, the standard that the Board of Medical Examiners and the Board of Nursing apply is the standard of reasonable cause.
And if the individual prevails, what kind of liability does the Board of Naturopathic Physicians have? What would be the outcome of that?
In the event the order is not upheld, then the licensee would not be required to submit to an evaluation.
No, I'm sorry. She misunderstood me, Mr. Chair. The evaluation takes place, or the court case is heard, and the individual, the licensee, that has been questioned on objectively reasonable grounds prevails. The judge doesn't find anything wrong with this individual, or they do not prove their case that they were unable to do it. What then is open to that individual legally?
Chairman Morissette, Senator Berger, I'm not prepared to provide testimony on that aspect of this bill. I would assume that a licensee would seek recourse by consulting with their own legal counsel to determine what options they would have.
Mr. Chair, can I follow up with that?
Yes.
Because I think there are a number of complaints, at least for nursing. I'm not familiar with any other other health profession. Number of complaints come forward to the Board of Nursing, and many at the board level are dismissed for lack of credence. So at least from the Board of Nursing, they're pretty thorough on investigation to make sure that the complaint is valid. So I think I'm sure there may be one or two that may slip through. I don't know. I've never heard of one. It's pretty strict, and hopefully the naturopathic program will be just as strict as the BMEs and the Board of Nursing. I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but
Well, I have comfort in that it's similar to the Board of Nursing, which I'm somewhat familiar with now after having gone through a long session with the Board of Nursing and the Medical Examiner Board. So I feel comfortable.
Mr. Chair, would you like a courtesy vote for me in order to get it out of the committee?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
How many of our boards that regulate these practitioners allow the ability of that person who has been maybe wrongly accused to recover their cost? Do any of them allow that? No, they don't.
I could answer that question from my experience,
yes.
Senator Morris.
I was thinking about you,
George. I really don't believe there's any provision at all under the APA for someone who's been who's exercised the right to appeal, who's been wrongly directed to do something, to have any kind of specific recourse for damages or any sort of idea that you would
recover attorney costs.
There is a provision to recover attorney's costs if you take it all the way up to the Court of Appeals, and I am not aware of the court ever granting it. But that doesn't mean they couldn't possibly. But it's extremely high standard, and I'm not aware off the top of my head. I mean, that's not something that practitioners such as myself who do this every day ever advise their client, oh, and by the way, when we prevail, you'll get all of these thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars back. I would never suggest that to a client that, and, you know, excite their hopes in that direction. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's certainly not something I would suggest to my client. If I could have one more second of your time, I would point out that there's no reason why these amendments couldn't have an expedited hearing process through the Office of Administrative Hearings. I'm familiar with Tom Ewing, who runs the Office of Administrative Hearings, and he has on more than one occasion talked about the ability for him to expedite hearings. And I guess I'd just leave it to two ideas. One, the Board of Medical Examiners, they regulate doctors who have no difficulty finding lawyers to represent them. When you start looking across the board at other agencies and you start saying, well, let's have everybody live under the regulatory provisions that the Board of Medical Examiners provides, there's this piece of information that really should be at the top of your mind, which is the vast, vast, vast majority of people do not have the resources, nor do they ever hire an attorney. If they get a letter from an agency saying you will go in for a mental exam, they're going to do it whether there's a basis for it or not. And I can tell you I have dealt with an agency that has authority to do this. I have had to call up the agency to say, you've ordered this person to have a mental exam. Yes. My client tells me it's because she's acting weird. Yes. I don't think that's a basis for a mental exam, although your letter says so. And they say, well, I guess, Janice, what we'll do is reconsider that. But if I hadn't made the call, that person would have had to pay for a mental exam because they were acting, these are my words, I don't want to use the exact words, it might give it away, and I don't really need to embarrass any particular agency or my client, but let me assure you, the phrase weird is not significantly different than the kind of phrase that was used. I've also heard the phrase from another attorney, and this is anecdotally, but I work with this attorney. He practices in administrative law, and this person said that the phrase was, let me see if I have this. I forgot the term, but it was very similar, and I apologize for not being able to remember that. Before we go, I would like to point out that I have also brought testimony today from a Mr. Frank Massell. Mr. Massell and I know each other as colleagues. Mr. Massell worked as an assistant attorney general for many, many, many years of his practice. He's now in private practice. I think he's, in his testimony, I think you will see that he's practiced for like 30 years and was with the Attorney General's office in Oregon most of that time. And he concurs with the amendments and supports the amendments and also has some concerns that there needs to be some procedural requirements in here before you have something as invasive as a mental or physical exam ordered by an agency. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. And we're going to open a work session.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move Senate Bill 207 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Montes Anderson moves 207 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I will be happy to give you only a courtesy vote,
okay.
Though I will not say that I will vote for it on
okay.
the floor.
Okay. Other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I've been through too many courtesy votes that backfire. I'm going to be a no vote on this. Okay. I think it's reasonable to consider those. I have just about as much interest in protecting practitioners from overzealous administrators as I do protecting the public from folks that aren't practicing right. So I would think it's reasonable to look at the amendments. So I'll be a no vote.
Okay. Interesting. A courtesy vote and no vote and two yes votes. I don't feel real comfortable with this.
You want to hold it for a while?
I want to hold it.
Let's discuss it.
Okay. We will suspend our... we'll
but,
close.
But Mr. Yeah. Chair, this it'll be a tragedy if we do not get this bill passed
in some form. I agree.
To have the naturopaths not be able to be treated equally like every other board in this state gets my ire up. So I'm a little bit disturbed with the amendments. I think those could be maybe taken care of by rule rather than putting it in statute. So.
With that encouragement, would you call the roll, please?
Oh.
Senator Wanda Sanderson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator George?
No.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Excused.
Chair Morissette?
Aye. Senate Bill 207 passes with the required majority, and we'll go to the floor of the Senate, and I will carry the bill. I have confidence in it. Thank you very much for your testimony. We're going to move to a different bill now. We're going to move to Senate Bill 231 at this point, and we will continue with your series at another time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I thought these were slam dunks.
Should be slam dunks.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, we will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 231. Rick, would you introduce yourself, please?
Chair Morissette and Senators George, Mona Sanderson, and Berger. My name is Rick Lee. I'm a native Oregonian, raised in Northeast Portland, attended Benson High School and Oregon State University. In 1998, I graduated from the International Institute of Alternative Medicine located in Mountain View, Arkansas. And in June of 2006, I passed the National Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and I am board certified to practice traditional naturopathy. In 1998, I opened a health clinic in Northeast Portland, serving primarily underprivileged individuals with no health care or very limited health care. After moving to the state and Oregon area in 2005, I received a notice from the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners that I was practicing naturopathy in the state of Oregon illegally, to which letter I responded, which ensued an investigation conducted by the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, the Oregon Board of Degree Authorization, and the Oregon Board of Health Licensing. Some of those individuals are present in this room currently. After that 3 month investigation, it ended up with the Department of Justice. And I signed a voluntary compliance agreement stating that I would not use the term naturopath in my correspondence with the public, which removed me from the status of a doctor, which meant I could not advertise as a traditional naturopath and limited my ability to provide services in a community that I was serving very well at the time. If I can give you a little bit of history, naturopathy came to the United States in the late 19th century by Dr. Benedict Lust from Europe. Upon Dr. Lust's death, a small group of individuals pulled away from the original group of naturopaths that are now known today as traditional naturopaths. In 1931, Congress stepped in and passed a definition of what constitutes naturopathy, and that definition is still in the federal books today. In fact, you have a copy of the congressional record in front of you, and if you look on the left-hand column, very last paragraph at the bottom, the Honorable Catherine Langley stated that naturopaths do not perform surgery, nor do they prescribe prescription drugs. That is the federal definition of a naturopath. However, you also have in front of you a page that talks about the difference between naturopathic medicine and traditional naturopathy. Anatomy and physiology has not changed with the human body in centuries. The sciences are the same. Where the two groups basically diverge is when it comes to treating the human body. Naturopathic medicine has diverged into the allopathic realm. We've heard much testimony this afternoon about being able to do minor surgery, even administer level 2, 3, 4, 5 drugs. I am here today because Chapter 685 of the Oregon Medical Laws a naturopath, chapter 685.020, subsection 2, the language reads that any time you use the word naturopathy in the state of Oregon, it automatically means naturopathic medicine. And to me, that language is not in the spirit of Oregonians. It is discriminatory, and it makes it illegal from a very valid profession recognized by the U.S. government to practice a discipline that's been around for centuries. I have with me today, if we can, I would like to share testimony with June Volkman. I met Ms. Volkman about a year ago, and she's been to the clinic, and I would like to have her share a few words of her testimony of her experience with traditional naturopathy.
Jaron Morissette, members of the committee. I was having some major...
Give us your name.
My name is June Volkman.
Okay.
I was having some major medical problems that my medical doctor could not find anything wrong with me. And I did a little prayer. I asked God to show me how to get well. And within 2 weeks, Dr. Lee was knocking on my door selling healthy living books. And we got into a discussion about my medical condition, and he said he thought he could help me. So I made an appointment. I went down. He did a chemical analysis of my blood, or my urine and my saliva, and recommended a natural way of getting better by using vitamins and minerals and diet and exercise. My medical conditions have disappeared. I feel great as long as I follow his program with no drugs.
Thank you. Okay.
With me today, on my left, your right, is Boyd Landry, and I think Mr. Landry has a few remarks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Boyd Landry, and I'm the executive director of the Coalition for Natural Health in Washington, D.C., and I apologize for my southern accent. So I grew up south of I-10 in south Louisiana, so I apologize.
You traveled all the way from
Washington, yeah. And I apologize for not having my written testimony. I had planned on getting it copied and having it here today, but due to snowstorms in the Midwest, I got rerouted and got delayed and so
forth. And you were halfway down the freeway when we started at 3 o'clock.
That's right. I appreciate you're willing to wait, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. The Coalition for Natural Health has been around since 1996 and represents the traditional naturopathic community across the United States. And this bill, when introduced, created a lot of interest for us because Idaho recently, last year, passed a piece of legislation, a licensing bill, but also addressed the fact that there are people who don't want to practice as naturopathic physicians, who don't want to prescribe drugs, who don't want to do surgery, who don't want to deliver babies, all the things that you traditionally find in the practice of conventional medicine, and recognize their right to be able to practice. And this bill, essentially, with a couple of suggestions that I've made to Mr. Lee, who has passed that on to the chairman, of some changes, that bill essentially would get pretty close to what Idaho has done. And so we were very intrigued by it and think it's a wonderful step in the right direction to recognize of course, there are people who don't want to get to that line, if you will, that separates the practice of medicine or naturopathic medicine from everything else. Because those practices that come up to that line are inherently not injurious to the public. I mean, we're talking about suggesting the usage of herbs, dietary supplements, exercise, things of that nature. So I think that's important for Oregon, as well as, you know, to follow the lead of Idaho, and other states have also addressed this particular issue in different means. California has done something. Minnesota has done something. Rhode Island has done something. Louisiana has done something. So many states around the country are starting to address issues like this. So I think it's important.
Now, excuse me for interrupting. This is going to be a public hearing. We're not going to have a work session, and so it would be helpful to us if you could get us some of the information from other states. I mean, you're suggesting that there are other. Well, it would be helpful because we're going to come back to this bill again.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to provide that. I guess I would give it to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. So. You know, like I said, it's an important step for Oregon to sort of fall in line with all with the other states that have already started addressing these issues, because these practices go on. There are people out there practicing. Whether they're out front and in the public eye or they're not, these practices are still going on. These people are still doing what it is that they do. And so I think it's important that we recognize and, for lack of a better term, codify what's already going on. So in addition to that, the Constitution, the United States Constitution, sort of addressed the issue about public health, safety, and welfare, which you all have talked about in various forms in previous bills that have been heard today, that it's your job as the state to regulate those professions that impact public health, safety, and welfare. These practices in traditional naturopathy don't rise to the level of impacting public health, safety, and welfare. So it really doesn't require any additional regulation other than to address the usage of title, which doesn't fall under public health, safety, and welfare, because that's more in line with what scope of practice falls under. So I think it's important, because you've separated, and you've done a good job in the bill of separating usage of title from scope of practice. And you've made an issue about what usage of title is about versus addressing scope of practice, because there are other bodies of law in Oregon that address scope of practice. So I compliment the chair and his bill for addressing it just where it needed to be addressed, and that's in usage of title. And with that, I can answer any questions that anybody might have.
Senator...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Senator Mona Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So basically the main thrust of this bill is the word, you want to use the doctor of traditional naturopath after your name, naturopathic.
I would like to be able to practice and make the public aware of traditional naturopathy, first of all, and yes, use the designated title of my degree as doctor of traditional naturopathy, yes.
And why does the Association of Naturopathic Physicians of Oregon oppose this?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them, Senator Montefiore.
Okay. When you is there only one or several that offer a religious? You stated on the first page, line 25, a religious exempt, non-accredited college or university that offers a 3-year full-time residency program of studies that leads to a doctor degree in traditional naturopath. How many schools fit that you're aware of?
I'm aware of one that the one I attended that fits that definition. I'm sure there are others. Church of Scientology went to federal court to get their exemption. So I'm sure there's others out there.
Thank you.
Senator George.
Thank you. Just kind of a backgrounder. When Dr. Lee first brought this question to me, I said, well, this shouldn't be a problem with the naturopath, because of the fact that they have in the past come to us and ask us to broaden their scope of practice to allow them to do some things. You saw my concern about a person who was prescribing drugs and doing even minor surgery who might have been under the influence of drugs. We're talking about people here who don't do anything like that. They're not performing surgery. I have a liver of a hardcore alcoholic. I don't do alcohol, period. Pharmaceuticals shut down my liver. They've almost killed me twice. Okay, so I'm going to go see Dr. Lee. I can guarantee you after this, I don't care what you call him. But what we did is we went to legislative council and we asked this question. Why is it that we don't have an exclusion for someone to practice this, which does sound an awful lot like Seventh-day Adventist approach to good health and other religious groups. Why can't a person practice that? And the answer was because the name is too close to, you know, a naturopathic physician. Then the extensive period developed in which legislative council attempted to draft this so that it would not be confused with typical naturopathic care. The bill is a result of that, and I just thought that might be informative to know that.
Mr. Chair,
yes, Senator Bridger.
The one thing in it that really worries me is this non-accredited college or university. You know, I'm not excited about people mail order diplomas. So that worries me a bit. And is that absolutely vital to be in this bill?
Senator Verger, if I can address that. The International Institute of Alternative Medicine is accredited, but it's accredited by a non-governmental agency. When a religious organization enters into accreditation by a federal government agency, then they're subjected to certain requirements that may go against their religious beliefs and or convictions. So while it's not accredited by a governmental agency, it is accredited by the Internet Association of Accrediting. I can't remember the exact title now, but they're registered with the state of Arkansas. For me, who is a Seventh-day Adventist, who plans on practicing traditional naturopathy if this bill is passed, and possibly teaching the profession that I know, it's vitally important that I have an organization that can be accredited, but not necessarily be imposed with governmental regulations and restrictions that alters and challenges my religious beliefs. Portland Adventist Medical Center in Portland, Oregon has come under that type of scrutiny. Loma Linda University in Loma Linda, California has also come under that type of dilemma because of accreditation requirements of federal agencies. So for me and my religious beliefs and convictions, it's very imperative that language be in there, but yet the organization is held at the same standard. For example, the Institute of Alternative Medicine that I graduated from teaches at the 1931 definition of traditional naturopathy. Now, the Oregon Board of Degree Authorization, Mr. Contreras is here, the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners and the Oregon Board of Health Licensing Agency went over my degree, my diploma, my transcripts with a fine-tooth comb. To this day, I'm able to continue to have my clinic. I just cannot call myself a naturopath. So the issue is not the accreditation. The issue was not whether I'm qualified, educated. The issue was Chapter 685.020, subsection 2, the use of the word naturopath.
That raises the question, how many people come to you who think they're going to a different kind of a naturopath? And do you tell them? When they walk in the door, do you say, after you hear them talk to you about their condition and what they expect, do you differentiate yourself from who they may think they're seeing?
Chair Morris, that's a very good question. And yes, I do. Not only for my own personal philosophical reasons, but also by law, I have to. I have a form that every new individual that comes into my office fills out. And in that form, it states that I am not a medical doctor. Okay. I am not a naturopathic doctor. My services are not approved or recognized by the state of Oregon. And I have them sign and date that piece of paper. So I am very careful to make sure that I do not confuse the public. And speaking on the issue of confusion, I've been listening to 2001 testimony when Scott Gallant from the Oregon Medical Association raised that same issue with the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners when the naturopathic examiners wanted to change their definition from drugless therapy to naturopathic medicine. The Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners did not felt that naturopathic medicine was the best way to distinguish between medical doctors and naturopathic medicine. If the public is astute enough to distinguish between a medical doctor and a naturopathic medicine doctor, I'm sure Oregonians are astute enough to tell the difference between a naturopathic medicine doctor and a traditional naturopathic doctor, especially one who has and signed a document that states their practice, belief, and scope, et cetera.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator George.
Dr. Lee, I remember those hearings, and I'm going to tell you up to that point, I would have never believed that a naturopathic physician was going to be prescribing drugs or doing any kind of surgery, because I always assumed it was going to be an approach like what I'm going to describe. And in a second, I'll ask you to answer the question. Probably about 10 years ago, Paul Harvey talked about the fact that we had a substantial lack of understanding within the medical community of health from the standpoint of nutrition and all the rest of it. Okay, he raised the issue that a veterinarian had years of training in nutrition and animal health. Okay, and today, what have we done with all of the move towards more natural beef and milk? What do we have? We have a certain classification, we call them. And what do they do in their practice? They eliminate the pharmaceuticals. They try to, as much as possible, maintain animal health by using nutrition and minerals and other things that you probably use similar things in your practice. The public today views that as very good. In fact, they'll go say, oh, organic, I like it, I'm going to do it. Isn't that a right of choice that we should have to say, I'm very comfortable with the fact that you're not going to try and give me any of those classes of drugs that I'm suspicious of, but that you're actually going to try to encourage me to get good exercise, eat well, and here's a plan that you might want to try and see if it works for you. That may be a really loaded question. I'm sorry about that.
It is a right of choice. An individual should have the right to choose their health care. But to me, it's deeper than right of choice, because mentally, if your mind does not accept the philosophy of the treatment modality that you're using, then studies have been shown that the benefit of that treatment modality is not as effective as if a person truly mentally believes that what they are doing is going to help them. So, yes, it is a right of choice. I should be able to choose whether I want to go to a naturopathic medicine doctor, an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, or a traditional naturopath. But it's also deeper than that, that involves healing, that I truly have to believe what I'm doing is going to help me.
Other questions?
I don't know that I have a question, but when I was looking at this non-accredited, you have a degree from an accredited Oregon University.
Correct.
But then you also have other training.
Correct.
All right. So I think that the thing that I was concerned about is that would be the only training that an individual would have.
No. And the bill also reads that an individual has to pass certification or registration. So I have my Doctor of Traditional Naturopathy degree, but as the bill is written, for me to practice in Oregon, I also have to pass a board, which I have done, the National Board of Naturopathic Examiners. So just the degree alone is not sufficient to practice traditional naturopathy in Oregon under this bill.
No. You passed the national exam for naturopathic.
Correct. The National Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Okay, that is the not the traditional naturopathic. Did you pass?
Yes. Sir, to answer your question. What is your question, sir?
Did you pass the exam that other naturopaths pass? Or
that is correct. Yes.
Okay, I see different reactions.
People are shaking their
heads. You passed the exam that other naturopaths have passed.
I passed the exam that the federal government in 1931 designated the true definition of what constitutes naturopathy.
Yeah.
I did not pass the same exam that they passed here in Oregon, because here in Oregon they go into allopathy, they go into surgery, they got an add-on curriculum.
Okay.
Some of what I passed is in their curriculum.
Okay.
That is the distinction or the difference between the two.
Now, the bottom line of this bill basically is for you to be able to practice what you consider to be the original naturopathy, and you're not practicing the traditional naturopathy.
Traditional or original is the same.
Oh, okay.
To distinguish ourselves from naturopathic medicine, we have had to call ourselves traditional naturopaths. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just try to finish this thought. but if you recall something, if you used a different... Okay, I guess the conflict is you're using the term that implies to some people that you are a naturopath in the broad definition of the word. Probably 99% of the people who go to a naturopath might look them up in the phone book under naturopath and find one and go to them. If they go to you, you have a disclaimer saying that your practice is different from a naturopath. Now, if you used a different term to describe your practice, we wouldn't be here today, right?
Well, I do have a different term to describe my practice, and we're still here today because of 685.020 subsection 2.
I know.
I do not use the word naturopath by itself. I have never done that.
I know.
Okay. I always use traditional naturopath.
Okay. Well, traditional, unless a person knows the distinction to start with, that the word traditional doesn't probably mean a whole lot to a lot of people. But I guess what I was getting at, if you didn't use the term naturopath and you had this same kind of practice, would you be out there still practicing without a problem? If someone hadn't complained that you were using a name that you weren't qualified to use.
Oh,
even though you say you're qualified to use it, but if you're...
I think I understand your question now. I think the answer to that question is no, I wouldn't have a problem. Since I did the voluntary compliance with the Department of Justice, I have had no problem with the clinic whatsoever.
Okay, so okay. Your voluntary compliance in doing the disclaimer, is that?
Well, not using the word naturopath.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, what if you don't use the word naturopath? What if this bill doesn't pass and can you go back? What you're saying is then you couldn't go back to practice because you wouldn't be able to advertise that you were a naturopath.
That is correct. Since that situation, my business has dropped way off to the point where January 31st of 07, I've had to close the clinic.
Okay.
Okay. People in Oregon value degrees and titles highly.
Mm-hmm.
So if this bill does not pass, I probably will not be going back into practice. But I don't, this whole process, I've always been asked, well, what if I don't use the word naturopath?
Yeah.
But yet naturopathic medicine is encroaching on the OMA, and they're not asked to remove medicine from their title.
Right.
And I absolutely refuse to remove the term naturopath from my title when there's a federal definition of what I do.
Okay. I wasn't suggesting that you remove it. I was just trying to figure out what if.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Chairman.
No, that's all right. I think I was just wondering if this has billing implications. Do you bill for your services at all through...
Third party? No.
Third party.
Pardon?
Third party reimbursement.
Third party reimbursement. I have not gone down that path, Senator Morris Anderson.
In fact, I remember when I grew up in Montana and I went to a chiropractor and he had a jar for contributions. Mm-hmm. And he did wonders for me. He helped me.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't charge. They weren't recognized in Montana, but they were practicing. Senator George.
I think it's really important to ask who changed what. Because the definition of a naturopath is that naturopathy does not contemplate drugs or surgical operations. So it's the current group of naturopathic physicians who have changed the original definition. We have a gentleman here that's saying, let me practice what is traditionally the definition. And what we all agree would not be harmful to anyone.
Mr. Chair, it's like a nurse. Everyone wants to make sure there's a registered nurse. And over time, a nurse was someone who, you didn't really have to have a whole lot of training. You just had to have sort of a knack on taking care take care of people, but now it is a requirement, and a lot of that has to do with liability and the safety of patients. So, anyway.
Could you speak to the liability issue?
I can speak to it because I have...
No liability in your practice?
Well, I don't have malpractice because I don't carry practice medicine. But I have carried insurance for, you know, for the purpose of, you know, just basic building. Somebody slips, fall, or, you know, I do something inappropriate. But I do and have carried insurance, but not malpractice insurance.
Okay. So I guess part of the question is, if you were practicing medicine without a license, but you're not practicing medicine.
That's correct. I'm not practicing medicine.
This gentleman wanted to say something.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I forget why. the discussion's moved so many too far, so I'm sorry.
We get smooth stones by rubbing rough stones together. But it works.
If I can point out what Senate Bill 231 does, it just allows for the practice of traditional naturopathy by individuals meeting educational requirements, and it allows the public to be informed of traditional naturopathy. What Senate Bill 231 does not do is take anything away from naturopathic medicine. In fact, having a different naturopathic group in Oregon would only be to the benefit of Oregonians. The free enterprise system, competition, and so forth would just make the state of Oregon a flagship for the rest of the country. So there's absolutely nothing in that bill that takes away anything from naturopathic medicine.
Okay. Further questions? We'll, okay. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Alan Contreras. And Rick Marinelli, would you please come up here? We will go for another maybe 10 minutes, and then we're going to close the public hearing and adjourn, and we'll come back another day. Okay, Alan Contreras, what do you have to say for yourself? I say that because I know Alan.
The chair and I have known each other for a very, very long time. Senator, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I have absolutely nothing to say about the practice of naturopathy. Our office is the Office of Degree Authorization, which is a part of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. We are located in Eugene. And I'm here today only to talk about a small portion of the bill and what it does, and that is the portion that Senator Verger has mentioned a couple of times already. Our concern about the bill and the way it's written and what it does is primarily with what's on the bottom of the first page of the bill relating to a religious-exempt, non-accredited college or university. We are familiar with Mr. Lee's case and have worked with him and with the DOJ and other agencies on it and tried to figure out what to do with it for quite a while now. The problem that you run into if you include what's on lines 25 through 27, that's the subsection capital B there, is that you're saying that a school that has no oversight by anyone and conceivably no meaningful authorization to issue degrees from an appropriate jurisdiction can nonetheless issue a degree that becomes valid for use in the state of Oregon. About half of the states, including Oregon, have what's called a religious exemption for schools that train people for the ministry and that sort of thing. Ours was revised last session. Some of you may remember that. Half of the states don't allow it at all. The problem in many states is that when a school is called religious exempt, what that means is that no one knows what they do. There's no oversight by the state. There's no formal authorization to issue degrees. No one knows what the curriculum is and so forth and so on. That has, on many occasions, led to a very severe problem with diploma mill situations. For example, the notorious LaSalle Diploma Mill in Louisiana, the owner of which went to federal prison for fraud. That was a religious-exempt institution. Nobody can tell what it's doing. Its authorization from the state of Louisiana is simply an exemption. No one in the state knows what it does. It doesn't have to be accredited by any external body. Degrees of that nature are not currently valid for use in the state of Oregon. Unless the institution itself goes through an evaluation by our office and is shown to meet certain minimum standards. One of the difficulties that Mr. Lee ran into is that when we contacted the state of Arkansas, they were unable to confirm that the entity from which he earned his degree, in fact, ever had the legal authority or an exemption to issue degrees in Arkansas at all. That is a situation that occurs with many of these providers around the country that simply start up and issue degrees. And not just in the United States. There are certainly a lot in the Caribbean and elsewhere. So our concern, we're going to leave all of the naturopathy issues to the naturopathy people and be glad of it. But our concern is that you not pass a bill that includes a provision that simply gives a blanket okay to any religious-exempt institution and doesn't require some kind of evaluation or sign-off. The issue was raised earlier that some of these institutions don't like to go through accreditation or evaluation procedures, but many of them do. I mean, George Fox and Multnomah Bible, Eugene Bible, Northwest Christian, those are all accredited institutions. They have chosen to go through that process because it adds credibility to their credential. Oregon does allow the use of unaccredited degrees in the state. We do not forbid that. But in order for those degrees to be used here, the providing school has to demonstrate to us that it's a genuine enterprise that has qualified faculty, you know, awards credit for actual work rather than giving you a year's credit for being there on a Friday night, that sort of thing, has genuine admission standards and has a curriculum. So any and a number of schools, including eight religious-exempt schools in Oregon have met the statutory standard here. There are a couple out of California. Several unaccredited schools in California have met the statutory standard here. It's not an impossible standard. So our advice to you is that if you decide to move forward with this bill, that you remove the Section B or the capital B down there at line 25, or amend it in such a way that any degree that's proposed for use for this purpose would have to go through the same evaluation procedure that any other unaccredited school would that comes from outside of Oregon if the degrees are to be used here. And I think I'll stop there. You all have a handout, and I suppose as the state's post-secondary evaluator, I should apologize for the typo in the very first line of my letter. That doesn't add much to my credibility, but thank you for the opportunity. Okay. I'd be glad to answer any questions about that particular set of issues.
My question is, and Mr. Lee will have an opportunity, we're going to come back and continue this hearing later. Did you talk with him about this problem?
We talked with him about this problem approximately a year ago, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exactly when that was. I didn't bring that set of correspondence with me.
Okay.
But, and we at that is why we contacted the state of Arkansas, is because he gave us the name of the school and so on. So we made an effort to find out what we could about it, as we always do in these cases. That's part of what my office exists to do. And unfortunately, the result was not terribly positive. So.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. First of all, I would gladly invite Mr. Lee to apply for licensure through the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. We welcome and embrace traditional naturopathy. In fact, we have many practitioners who would identify themselves as traditional naturopaths within the ranks of our licensees. However, as a representative of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners and the chair, I have to tell you that we've taken a sworn duty to protect the citizens of Oregon, and we're in opposition to this bill because I think that it negates those protections that are in place, as many of you have expressed concern about today. Mr. Landry stated that he felt that traditional naturopathy doesn't require public health safety and safety welfare oversight, and I have to disagree as a person on the board of naturopathic examiners. It hasn't happened in our state, thank goodness, but it has happened in other states where, because of a failure to diagnose or appropriately treat, people have been injured and actually died as a result of the treatment from people who identify themselves as naturopaths. It's one of the wonderful things about our laws here in Oregon that we have the means to examine applicants, to determine their fitness for practice, for healthcare practice, and there is a very organized process by which this occurs. In addition, we have the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, as you know, investigates complaints against practitioners, which this bill would prevent from occurring. Essentially, the bill is saying, well, we do traditional naturopathy, therefore there would be no complaint, or if there were, there's no means to actually investigate that and see if there was any negligence, malfeasance, or incompetence to question. Also, I think that right now our requirement is for naturopathic physicians to graduate from a professional, accredited, four-year graduate-level medical school with appropriate training in conventional medicine, and I want to say more about that in a moment, but also as specialty as natural medicine practitioners and clinical training. The conventional medical training, which has been somewhat looked down upon, is crucial in our experience because without that kind of conventional medical training, practitioners do not know when serious disease is present and know when to appropriately refer. And so what are the means for knowing if that's going to occur if someone's not under the purview of anyone or anyone's oversight, especially a state agency like the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners? So in essence, I think that with this bill, we would lose the oversight that's such an important part of health licensing agencies. I think that most of us, all of us, and I've heard it expressed by the committee, that we want to have the best practitioners and people who we know are competent, who are not impaired, who hold themselves to the highest standards, and we have a means by which we've done that since 1927 in the state, prior to actually the federal government's definition that Mr. Lee would like to use of naturopaths. So naturopaths, naturopathic physicians, naturopathic medicine, these are things that are already addressed in 685.20, and those are protected titles. And just a final thing is that also in 685.30, it allows for exclusion for spiritual or religious therapy. And so someone who wants to practice a religious or spiritual type of approach or who has a religious degree, they are not prevented in any way from pursuing that type of activity. However, the statute does require, if they want to use the term naturopath or naturopathic physician or anything using naturopath or naturopathic doctor, they must comply with the provisions of 685. Thank you.
We're going to have to leave.
I need a quick question.
Yes, a quick question.
When you're in the negotiations and the dealings with Dr. Lee, did you ever say, you know what we need? We need a two-tier system. We need one for those who are going to do surgery and drugs and one that's like you. Did you guys ever offer that to him? Would you consider that?
Chair Morissette, Senator George. In Mr. Lee's case, we don't prevent the practice of what he advocates. In fact, we promote it. Naturopaths want to focus on diet and nutrition and exercise, and in fact do. However, if someone wants to practice that, we ask that they comply with the regulations that are already in place.
Unfortunately, we have to clear this room at this time, or we have to go to another meeting room, and our staff. So I'm going to close the public hearing, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Marsat and members of the board.
Sorry I can't continue this, but we will come back and continue it another time. And I will adjourn.